Hey there, educator. If you are tired of working more than you actually live, if you want to leave school on time and feel better about it, then I have the perfect resource for you. It is my latest book. It is now available on Amazon. It comes for a limited time at a crazy introductory price and with a free workbook to help you get the most out of it. It is called Beat Teacher Burnout with Better Boundaries, The Secret to Thriving in Teaching Without Sacrificing Your Personal Life. Isn't that what we all want? It's not just for teachers, anybody in education. And the secret here is it's going to help you set boundaries in every area of your life, not just teaching. It comes with a proven framework. It comes with sample scripts. Everything. Did I mention it has an amazing workbook that comes with it for free right now? So go over to Amazon. You can either put in the name of the book, which is again, Beat Teacher Burnout with Better Boundaries, or you could put in my name, Grace Stevens, and that's Stevens with a V, S-T-E-V-E-N-S. Although I should tell you, there's another author on there with the same name who is all about the cupcakes. So that's not me. I am not a baker. She seems lovely. I get her email and all the time. But anyway, go check out the book. Tell your friends about it. It's the best thing you're going to do for yourself today. Beat Teacher Burnout with Better Boundaries. All right. See you on the inside. Hey, Teacher Tribe. Today, we're kicking off a three-part episode of books that have profoundly impacted my teaching in a positive way with the one plot twist. None of the books are about teaching. We're going to start off with the granddaddy of them all, Stephen Covey's Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Whether you know this book or not, there is going to be something in this episode for you because as usual, we're going to look at it uniquely through the lens of educators. Let's do this. Welcome to the Balance Your Teacher Life podcast, where we talk all things avoiding educator burnout, setting healthy boundaries, and achieving better work-life balance. If you're passionate about education, but tired of it consuming your whole life, you have found your home in the podcast universe. I'm your host, Grace Stevens, and let's get going with today's show. All right, so here's how this episode is going to go down. First, I'm going to talk about how this wonderful book came into my life because I have thought about this, used these strategies, and refer back to it so many times in the last, I want to say, 30 years almost. And part of me wondered if it was just that special because it was my first introduction to really like a what you would call a professional development book, but it has stood the test of time. So I'm going to tell you that story. Then I will go through the seven habits briefly for those of you who do not know the book. And then I will pick what I feel is like the one habit we all need the most right now. And that is paradigm shifts and talk about how that really relates to education. How we can make changes in our classrooms, in our attitude, changes with parents, our relationships with co-workers, all the good stuff. Okay, so that's the roadmap. So let me tell you this. I always consider myself a well-read person. Now, maybe let's back up a bit. Gather around, young'uns, listen to the tales of old times. If you, I make no bones about letting people know, I am 58 years old. So let's say that I grew up and started my professional career back in the days where if you wanted to learn something or know something or be exposed to something, new ideas, you had to either read a book or go to a conference. That's it. There was no internet, obviously, which I know people always think, oh, in terms of Google, oh, well, there was no Google. You couldn't Google stuff. It wasn't so much that. It was just that you really had no exposure. No, you know, how we scroll on social media or we look at YouTube and we see adverts in which there are just so many new ideas and different things that we were exposed to. And if you turn back the clock, you know, 40, 50 years, it just wasn't that way. You got exposure to things only through people you met or if you read a book. Okay, and so I consider myself well-read. Probably we're going to have to do a whole episode on this about, you know, the validity of having an education and a really good one, that I had attended university in three different countries, speaking three different languages. So certainly I was bright. I was fluent in four languages, and I was very well read. To this day, I can still quote to you 17th century French literature. You know, I read Dante in the original Italian, you know, all those things. But I'd never, ever been exposed to a nonfiction book. How is that possible? Well, I'd read a few textbooks on history. I also had a minor in European cinema. I had such a great passion for that book. I remember the book. It was called How to Read Film. And, you know, so I'd read textbooks, but not a book that I would say was truly nonfiction about new ideas or different things. And so how this came about, that Stephen Covey came into my life, is that I was about maybe 4 years into my corporate career, a little less probably, and I had got promoted to a branch manager position, and I had got sent to our corporate headquarters. I worked for a very large international company, but I had got sent there for a whole week of professional development. We didn't call it back then. We called it manager training, to get trained on how to sell, how to manage people, all the things. Okay, so I show up with my little, you know, my little briefcase that we had back then, and my, you know, my suit. I sit down, I'm waiting to learn all how to sell, and out comes this book. I would say there were maybe 20 of us in the room, pretty small group setting, and out came the book, and we dove right into one of the exercises, which was circles of influence, circles of control. Touch on that a little bit later. And I remember thinking, what the heck is this? What are we doing here? People are writing down what they're worried about, what they're thinking about. I remember one man said he was worried that he had just planted a new lawn in his home in Texas, and was his wife watering it, and people were sharing their feelings. And, you know, I got to tell you, as a girl from London who grew up in a household that, you know, really never discussed our feelings, how we felt about things, what we were worried about, these just weren't discussions that came up. It just kind of felt like therapy to me, like, why are people sitting around talking about this stuff? I want to learn how to sell. So anyway, I was resistant at first, very kind of uncomfortable with the whole thing. But I have to tell you, as soon as I started reading the book, which I did, of course, after the day of training and doing other things, I read the book almost from front to back because I'm a very good student. I was going to know all the material by the next morning. And my mind was blown. My mind was blown. It was the first time I really had this idea that I could have different thoughts than the thoughts I were having. There was something about my life and the life that I was leading that it wasn't just happening to me, that I was contributing to it. I was helping create it by means of, you know, my actions, but really my actions were determined by my, you know, my feelings, my thoughts, my fears, and that I had some kind of control over them. So I had never been exposed to that idea. And so I feel like that is why, one, that book blew my mind. But two, it is absolutely 100% stood the test of time. And even though so many other spin-offs of it, and we're also used to now that self-help department, professional development, human potential, whatever you want to call it, like I have binged them all. I have literally read hundreds of these books, been to the seminars. Like I am truly a nerd in this area. But no matter what, if you only had to read one book and you only had to live your life by seven principles, this is the one. That's how strongly I feel about it. Okay, so enough of me telling you why it rocked my world. Maybe you've read it, maybe you're going to read it, and then you're going to be like, wait, this book didn't rock my world. Well, it has the potential to. So let me give you a quick overview of the seven habits, and some of them you will absolutely recognize. Again, I read this book, I want to say it was the early 90s. I think it had really just come out not too long before that. And so I read the book, and then being in the corporate world, you might not know that we used to carry around, before we all had iPhones and, you know, digital resources and everything, we carried around religiously our Franklin Planner. It was a leather-bound book with inserts where we planned our week and asked our questions. And then Stephen Covey, made an alliance with Franklin, who really owned the market in personal planners. And so it became the Franklin Covey Institute, and you could take classes on how to use this planner. It was always my dream to go. I never went, but it was always my dream. But anyway, you would carry this thing around. It was called a PRS, a personal resource system, and would carry this thing around. And just, you know, you just, your whole life was planned in it and trying to follow these principles. So anyway, let's talk about the seven principles. Okay, so it has become very popular with leadership. So if you're a school leader, for sure, you've probably done something with the Franklin Covey Institute. If you haven't, ooh, get on that. At least go read the book. But these are especially important skills for leadership. I should also say that the Covey Institute really expanded after, this is still their foundational work, but years after Stephen Covey wrote a book on Seven Habits of Highly Effective Teens. He should have written one on teens. That would have been good. But teens, as in teen children, the Seven Habits of Highly Effective Families. So he's branched out, but it's all really about principle-centered living and especially principle-centered leadership. And even if you're not a school administrator or a leader, we're all leaders in our classroom, in our communities, in our families, in our homes. So, all right, without further ado, the suspense has been killing you all if you do not know the seven habits. So the first one, habit number one, blew my mind, really foundation of everything I teach and I believe and I want for my life, is being proactive, right? Is the whole idea of focusing on acting what you can control and influence instead of worrying about all the stuff that you can't. Okay, that's the foundation of good mental health, right? Focus on what you can control, not what you can't. And really, if you're familiar with my own ECHO framework for teachers, and I always give Stephen Covey credit for this, the C in my ECHO framework, the C part is control what you can control. The other part of the first habit is the idea of paradigm shifts, is completely changing the way you look at something. And this whole idea is that two people can look at the same thing and see totally different things. Life-changing. I'm going to do a whole episode on paradigm shifts. Honestly, I could do a whole podcast, not just a whole episode on paradigm shifts. But if you think that sounds nerdy, just think about the ultimate paradigm shift we've had in the last 5 to 10 years, I want to say. And that is in the area of growth mindset, right? The whole idea that we're realizing intelligence isn't fixed, and how a student thinks about their own intelligence and their own ability to learn hugely impacts their results. Okay, that's a paradigm shift that students make. But I'm going to do an episode on how it affects every area of our teaching. But so that was all part of habit number one. Habit number two, begin with the end in mind. So that's like define clear measures of success and a plan to achieve them. Now we know this with curriculum, with content standards, we do what we call backward mapping, right? Like where do these students need to be at the end of the year? How are we gonna get them there? Now, it is the foundation of, I know schools are pushing, you know, this, especially if you do work with the PLCs, professional learning communities, you are up to your eyes in hearing about SMART goals, you know. But really this is begin with the end in mind. Have many schools have mission statements, vision statements, businesses have mission statements, vision statements. You can have your own personal mission statement. For my teachings, I refer to it as your teaching North Star. So there will be some episodes about that, no doubt. But it's all this same idea. Begin with the end in mind. Where do you want to go? And then backwards map from there. Okay, so that was habit number two. Okay, so habit number one, be proactive. Habit number two, begin with the end in mind. Now, I want to put it right out there. These headings and these habits, they are all, you know, registered trademarks to Franklin Covey. That I am not claiming that any of this has been, you know, anything I invented. Okay, just want to put that right out there clear. We're talking about this book and why it's wonderful, and these are the habits in it. So I did not come up with these habits. Now, my interpretations of them, obviously mine. But habit number three, put first things first. Right? What does that mean? It means prioritize and achieve your most important goals instead of reacting to urgencies, right? It's the whole idea of the difference between urgent and important, right? Everybody else's agenda is, you know, making things urgent for you. Is it truly important? Now, that's where you'll begin with the end in mind comes in, right? For me, the metric I use when I have to make conscious decisions about what I am not going to do, that's right. Lots of people can teach you how to have a to-do list. A lot of my teaching revolves around the not to-do list. What are you just going to eliminate? I mean, in the business world, it was eliminate and delegate. We don't have anyone to delegate to. Who are we going to give it to? The kids? I mean, there are things the students can do. Some parents, yeah, but there's limited as far as confidentiality and things go, right? So there are just things that we have to make intentional decisions we are just, you know, not going to do, or only assign a certain minimal amount of effort to them, right? And then our focus for deciding that is always why I call you Teaching North Star. Right? You have to define that for yourself and measure things up against, is this going to support the vision that I have for myself and my classroom, my students, or is it not? Is it just busy work that somebody else needs, right? Okay, so learning the difference, put first things first, learn the difference between what's important and what seems urgent. And I'm also going to throw in there the difference between productivity and busyness. Just because you're always doing something doesn't mean you're necessarily being productive. Discussion for another day. Okay, you with me so far? Habit one, be proactive. Habit two, begin with the end in mind. Habit three, put first things first. Habit four, think win-win. Now, that phrase has just become part of our lexicon, right? Oh, think win-win. That's not a new idea. No, it isn't. But probably the first person to articulate it so beautifully was Dr. Covey. So, think win-win. We know what that means. Collaborate more effectively by building high trust relationships. How can we move from a mindset of you win, I lose, or you win, I win, you lose? How can we be creative? I know we're going to throw in all those buzzwords. Think outside the box, right? Find a way that everybody can get what they need. It's a really important skill. Let's just throw it back to education. Let's think about your staff meeting. Let's think about your team meetings. Let's think about an IEP meeting, right? How different would those outcomes be how fewer, I believe is the right word, lawsuits there would be, how much less stress if everybody went into an IEP meeting, right, an individual education plan meeting for students or a student success team meeting, thinking win, win, right? Well, how can we get what the student needs? How can we please a parent, but still supporting a teacher's needs? How are you, what, why is it that everything that we do always adds onto it a teacher's plate? It's no wonder that teachers get, you know, a stomach ache when they see their class roster and there are, you know, seven students on IEPs, and how on earth can we basically meet all of those needs? It just stresses us out, right? If we could think win-win just even in that situation. Okay, so habit four, think win-win. Habit five, ay, ay, ay. Come on now. Seek first to understand, then to be understood. Right? Listen. That's what it means. Listen. Influence others by developing a deep understanding of their needs and perspectives. Right? Understand where a person is coming from before you try and fix it. Right? How many times when we're talking or somebody else is talking, we're kind of half tuning them out because in our mind we're busy, you know, formulating, how are we going to rebuttal this? What are we going to say about this? What about when I share my part and my feelings? Stop. Seek first to understand, then be understood. Right? That transforms your relationship with parents. Your ability to hear them out first without being defensive absolutely transforms that relationship. Okay. So far, it's like a memory test, isn't it? What are the habits? Habit number one, be proactive. Habit number two, begin with the end in mind. Habit number three, put first things first. Habit number four, think win-win. Habit number five, seek first to understand, then be understood. Habit number six, synergize. Synergize. What does that mean? Develop innovative solutions that leverage diversity and satisfy all key stakeholders. It's the idea that all of us working together create true synergy and we can achieve more than we could if we were doing our own thing, right? That the whole is greater than the sum of the parts, right? Maybe I could put it that way. Synergize. Capitalize on everybody's expertise to come up with innovative solutions, right? That are win-win, but the idea that when we work together and bring the best of ourselves together, we can create something better than we could have come up with ourselves. Okay, I don't think there's anybody who would argue with that. You might argue with that in your own particular situation if, unfortunately, you work with a district where there isn't true collaboration, right? This is talking about valuing collaboration over competition. What structures do you have in your school, in your district, in your classroom that support synergizing, that support collaboration over competition, right? Think about that. That's a meaningful discussion that we should be having in education right now. All right, the final habit, habit number seven, sharpen the saw. What does that mean? That means making sure that you have authentic self-care, that you have work-life balance, that you make time for renewing activities. Now, the thing that I really remember about this that really struck me at the time when I read the book, when I thought about it, sharpen the saw, the example that was given in the book was at least, you know, learn one new skill a year. Like keep sharpening your own saw, your saw. Don't get dull. Don't just get complacent in what you're doing. Always try and increase your motivation and energy and ultimately work-life balance by learning new things, by being excited about new things. Now, for me, that meant always, I guess I really didn't think too far outside the box. I was like, oh, let's learn a new language, I already had, three that I wasn't using. I don't know why I thought adding another one to the repertoire would, change my life. Maybe learn a musical instrument. I think looking back, it would have been better for me to have, learned some kind of athletic ability, athletic endeavor that I could have found passionate about, right? It took me until my 40s to find a bike, and then within 5 years, 4 years maybe of ever riding my first bike, I rode a metric century, which is a 66.6 mile race, and I love that. And cycling is still part of my life. It took me till 50s to find pickleball, late 50s. Okay, well, that's a retired person thing. So, but yoga, I dabbled with that in my childhood and on off again. I mean, you got to think, a 12-year-old doing yoga, like back in the 70s. That was weird, man. That wasn't, there wasn't that acceptance around it that there is now. If I'd have kept up with that or decided to deepen that practice, there were just lots of other things that I could have learned that didn't need to be A, a language, or B, I went all in on business for a while because I was a successful person in the corporate world. The books I were reading were about sales strategies. And those types of things. But it could be anything that keeps your interest, that just keeps you from getting dull, that increases just your motivation, your energy. And like I said, really for the point of this podcast, your work-life balance, if you're all about the thing you do to earn a living, your life is out of balance. Okay, so there are the seven habits. Now they might seem simple, not to confuse simple with easy, right? But honestly, if you can focus on these seven, I really think that's all you need. Okay, so I'm going to run through them again, but this time I really want you to think. I mean, obviously, no one's asking you to do seven things at once, but as I run through them and just give you some suggestions and ask you to reflect, honestly ask yourself, is this an area I can improve in? Right? Is this an area that me being stagnant in is holding me back? And then that will be a nice, focus point for you to decide where you want to sharpen your straw. There are so many resources available to us today. Oh my gosh, you can just go to YouTube and find anything. People teaching you so much stuff, so many great books, resources. TED Talks. I mean, my goodness, a TED Talk in 20 minutes. Or, you can even go to ChatGPT and ask them to summarize a book for you. If there's a book that you've always wanted to read and you just can't find the time, gosh, I get that, right? During the school year, nothing happened other than school. Go to ChatGPT, give me a summary of such and such a book. And then when the summary comes, if there's something you're more interested in, expand on that. These are easy prompts you can put into ChatGPT to help you learn things. So I'm going to run through them again and just reflect. So the first one, number one, be proactive. Focus and act on what you can control, right? Instead of, all the other noise, all the stuff that isn't important, okay? And really focus on those paradigm shifts. I feel that's so important. Next week's episode is going to be just about that and about the idea of responding versus reacting, right? That's a whole idea of being proactive. Do you just react to everything that's happening to you, student interruptions, parent interruptions? Do you just react to all that stuff, or do you respond thoughtfully? Have you been proactive about having ideas, habits, and strategies in place, right? Are you even aware of the fact that you can choose how you respond to people and not just react? Okay, so that's the first habit. Habit number two, begin with the end in mind. Do you have for yourself your teaching North Star? Have you figured out what's important to you? Not what's your why? We all know you're there for the students, right? We're not here for the fame and the glory and the money. Lord knows that. We're here for the students. But within that, do you have a compass? Have you defined for yourself what you believe is important for students and for yourself in stewarding towards the end result that we want? Habit number three, put first things first. Do you have a system for prioritizing? There's no way we can do everything. There's just no way. We need to make intentional decisions about that. Is that an area that you need more help exploring? Habit number four, think win-win. Do you have a collaborative mindset? Is that something that you feel maybe your team is lacking that is holding you back? What resources can you and your team find, work on? How can you go about creating a better framework for thinking win-win? Habit number five, seek first to understand, then to be understood. When you interact with others, is this an area you're lacking? Do you really take a pause and really engage in active listening to figure out where people are coming from before you try and shoot in with what you're thinking, what you want, what you feel is the right answer? Are these areas, is this an area that you could improve to have better relationships? Habit number six, synergize. Do you feel really that within the framework of your classroom, within the framework of your teams, that you have this real feeling of interdependence, right? The concept that we do things together and that our talents and abilities combined create something greater. Is that an area that you would like to focus on? Or habit number seven, sharpen the saw. I'm going to suggest that all of you could do better at this, or you wouldn't be listening to this podcast, right? Where can you invest in authentic self-care, in creating better balance around your work, learning to separate your work from your worth, right? I had the whole podcast episode on that your worth is not your work, and vice versa. Okay, so do you need to find ways to increase your motivation and energy and your work-life balance? Okay, so that's it for this week. I thank you so much for listening. I do, spoiler alert, next week we are going to take a deep dive into just the part of the framework that is being proactive, because I believe there is one paradigm shift I can give you. And if you just make this one shift, it will improve everything for you. So I hope to see you next week. Okay, teacher friend, I have something special for you. It is a free copy of my best-selling Positive Mindset Habit Journal for Teachers. This is a 6-week version of the Best Love Journal. It is a PDF download. It helps you practice flexing your happy muscle with scientifically validated little habits geared towards the teaching day. You put it on your desk, you spend 5 minutes working on it before you go home. It is transformational, I promise you. To get it, go to gracestevens.com/journal. Come on, how easy is that? Grace Stevens, Stevens with a V, stevens.com/journal. You can get the 6-week version right now for free. My gift for you. It is well used, well loved by so many teachers, and I'm so happy to gift it to you. So go grab it right now. And even better than that, go tell a friend, share this episode with a friend, tell them to go get their own version of the journal, have an accountability buddy. That's when the magic will happen.
As a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network, better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. Explore more podcasts at teachbetter.com/podcasts, and we'll see you at the next episode.